My guest headlined UFC 324, which premiered on Paramount Plus, reaching 7.18 million global households. He's one of the most electrifying fighters in the MMA. Please welcome to the show UFC interim lightweight champion of the world, Justin "The Highlight" Gaethje. How are you, man? It's good to see you. How's everything going?
Great.
You're coming off a victory in UFC 24. Talk to me about your mindset going into that fight against Paddy Pimblett.
Yeah, really just everything to lose. You know, this young, hungry kid, everyone's talking a lot of crap saying, I'm over the hill, too old. And, you know, puts a lot of pressure on me, but that's ultimately what makes me perform the best. So I was, you know, waking up with that, very encouraged to work as hard as I can, be as ready as I can, and make sure that this kid is not the kid that's going to take everything from me.
You're 27-5. Coming into that fight, you were 26-5, obviously. You are a knockout artist. You obviously must see when it comes to being in the octagon because you love striking. You love putting people to sleep any chance you get.
Of course.
I'm wondering, why did you feel it was like you had so much to lose? You just alluded to it and people doubting you, thinking that you were done.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way about yourself?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I got knocked out versus Max Holloway, and then I fought an amazing fight versus Rafael Fiziev, who I consider one of the best strikers, you know, in the UFC lightweight division. Mm-hmm. And it's just, the one of the constant battles is believing in yourself, believing that you're, you know, capable, deserving. And I've always, you know, relied on hard work, preparation, and I have one of the best coaches in the world in Trevor Whitman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand how dangerous and unforgiving this game is. And if you're going to let one, you know, one perform, we can't be perfect every night. Everybody, you can't be perfect every interview. Quarterback can't be perfect every game. And in my sport, not being perfect is detrimental, but ultimately you cannot be perfect every time, you know? And so it's all the lessons I've learned throughout the time has gotten me prepared and taught me how to be confident in my preparation, which, you know, leads to a great performance.
It's one thing for you not to be worried and to still have that belief in yourself. But you've been around the game long enough to know how this works politically from the standpoint that, you know what, they might think you you don't have it anymore. They might think that you're not that guy. And all of a sudden they start promoting one over others and what have you. Those kind of things. Any concerns about that going into
the
last
fight?
No, I love
it. Again, I mean, the opportunity to mess that up was also a driving factor for why I wanted to perform. You know, similar to the Khabib and Tony situation, they were going to fight. COVID happens. Khabib gets stuck in Russia. They're supposed to fight four times. You know, stuff happens. I come in, ruin the whole thing. They never fight.
Right.
And similar to the best thing about this sport is you get a chance to prove it. And everything is on you. All the pressure's on you. All the decisions are on you. You can't blame nobody for winning or losing but yourself. And the best thing about this sport is there's always a clear and convincing winner at the end. You know, especially in my fights, you know, I either go to sleep or they go to sleep.
Right.
I love the opportunity to mess that up. The UFC may have been pushing, may have not. They would have loved to, you know, I bet it would be a good business, you know, thing if he would have won and they had something new and fresh for the crowd. He has a lot of Instagram followers, represents the whole country. But again, I got a chance to take that away. And, you know, I did everything I could to make sure that happened. And I whooped his ass for five
right,
rounds.
Right. Most people are something that you're not. We're punks. We are. We don't want to get hit. See, I don't, you said you either put people to sleep or you get put to sleep. Educate me, I don't want to get hit. I don't want anybody putting me to sleep. I want magnesium putting me to sleep.
Yeah.
I want Ambien or something to put me to sleep. I don't want a punch putting me to sleep, Justin Gaethje. I mean, you know, recently your last loss was to Max Holloway.
Yeah.
Obviously, we saw how that went down for the BMF title and what have you. What is it like? I mean, Evander Holyfield, the former world champion boxer, once said that when you get knocked out, he said it really doesn't hurt at all. You don't really feel anything. What he said. I'm asking you. I don't know. That's what he said.
He is telling the truth. You feel nothing. It's over.
Wow.
Your body does so many things to protect you from trauma. Mm. And that is a traumatic experience. That's your body's, you know, trying to protect you from taking more. Yeah, that's why drunk people don't die in car crashes and people that aren't, you know, because you turn into a dummy and aren't fighting gravity and fighting forces and going directions you shouldn't be going.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks like I'm getting hit a lot in there, like first pay. But the whole time, you know, as long as you see the punch, you brace for the punch, or you roll with the punch. Like Bruce Lee said, be like water. Like if you, it's all straight lines of energy. And if you can see the punch and roll with the punch, and that's what I'm doing in there. I'm never taking, I took one really hard shot in this last fight. Outside that, he was not hitting me hard. And that's because I'm fighting a specific style and I am concerned about getting hit and I don't want to get hit. In the Max Holloway, it's a different, you know, situation where I was losing. And that's also the only reason I've ever gotten knocked out, because that's the only reason I have thrown all caution to the wind and said, okay, if I get knocked out, I get knocked out. Outside that, I am trying to not get hit. Right. The whole time.
So you're not one of those
people. Those are two very big distinctions, examples.
So you're not one of those people that says, I might be losing this fight, but I'm trying to survive. I don't want to risk getting knocked out. I want to go the full five rounds. Like boxers go the full 12 rounds. Yeah. And they're proud that they made it through 12 rounds, even in a loss. You're not one of those dudes. No. You're saying that you want to take all the risks. You don't give a damn what it takes to win.
So, again, and this sport's so crazy. If you're down 42-7 in a football game, it's over. You know, I was down 42-7, but I still had a chance to come out there and be victorious. And I had to take that chance and let my guard down. And I was willing to get knocked out. Mm-hmm. And so I would I'm very proud of myself for losing like that rather than losing by decision. Mm. Going one more second and then losing by decision. I fought a terrible fight. I deserved to lose. I wasn't perfect that night. And that knockout is going to make this comeback that much greater. And so I think it's perfect. I think it had to happen. I think it's my story. It's part of my story. I'm trying to write a book, mm-hmm. create a movie, create a legacy. And I think that knockout is going to make all this. If I come back and beat Patty and get undisputed gold by beating Topuria, best story you could ever write in this
man,
in
that
this
story
sport,
you so. Just told just now is worthy of a book. That's a bestseller book right there. No. I mean, just breaking it down the way that you did. Let's go to your history in terms of where this attitude comes from. Where do you think you first noticed that's who you are and what you were about? Because from my understanding, my research, I've heard you started wrestling from the time that you were like four years old.
I think it even started before that. I have a twin brother. He's sitting right over here, my brother Marcus. So from day one, I think my dad would just throw us on top of each other when we were babies and he'd figure out who would get on top. It's all I've known my whole life. Luckily, my mom, you know, being Mexican, I have her Mexican fighting spirit. I got my dad's German, very, very dense bones. And it's just a perfect combination for what I do. You know, I wanted to be a football player. And luckily, I'm just a great athlete. I just won a Ferrari. I took second place in the Fanatics Fest.
Okay.
Only lost to Tom Brady out of 100 people.
Wow.
So I am an all-around athlete. I you know, think that is due to my parents putting me in every sport. I was on swim team, soccer. I play all sports. There was never a time when I had nothing to do. And I've always been ferocious, so.
Yeah, because I was getting ready to ask, with all the things that you do, with all the athletic ability that you had, why decide on a sport like MMA?
Yeah, I think it picked me. I mean, I wanted football. Baseball would have been fun. I was blind, so I couldn't see, so I couldn't play baseball. I'm not fast enough to play football, and this is what I was made for. And so luckily, you know, when I was growing up, this really wasn't an option to be a professional athlete. In 2002, the tough one really made it more mainstream. And since then, it's just grown so fast and, you know, now become something that people like me, because outside of wrestling, if I was a wrestler, what am I going to do, go win the Olympics?
Yeah.
Even then, there's no, you don't win any money for that, you know, other than like pride, but that's not going to pay the bills. And so this is the only way for a wrestler to try to be a professional athlete.
The funny part is that you ain't much. I mean, I'm not saying you're not much of a wrestler in terms of your talent. I'm saying you're not much of a wrestler in terms of what you know for doing, because, again, you have put people to sleep. I've seen you do it.
I mean,
you don't mind knocking somebody out. As a matter of fact, it looks like you prefer that more so than wrestling them. So where that come from, Mr. Wrestler?
From wrestling, I know.
You went from wrestling to wanting to knock people out?
I know
out?
It doesn't make sense, but it's from wrestling, from being an athlete. So half of wrestling is stopping them from taking you down. I was never a great offensive wrestler, but I was so hard to take down, and I was stubborn and relentless, and I would never, you know, give up position. I would never take a break, and ultimately I was an wrestling is boring. My fights, my wrestling matches were exciting. I always had the crowd going crazy.
Right.
So I love to perform, but my wrestling allows me to choose where we're fighting, and that's how I use it.
Let me transition from there to where I'm going to bring up, because I'm wondering about you as a UFC fighter, the excitement that you bring to the table. Where do you view yourself amongst the elite in the game at this particular moment in time? But more importantly, or just as important in my estimation, in terms of box office appeal?
Well, those are two very different conversations, because obviously as a fighter, you never get into it for the latter. You know, it's strictly for pride and competitiveness and trying to be the best at something in the world. So I have not accomplished that. I've been so close. I mean, the fact that I fought number five in 2017, and if you look at the top five in the lightweight division in 2017, I'm the only one that's still there. You can probably look at all weight classes, and there's not going to be anybody or many from 2017 top five still in the top five. I've been fighting the top of the lightweight division since 2017. I fought outside the top 10, I think top five, mm-hmm. two times, James Vick and Rafael Fiziev. So I guess three times out of my 15 fights, all the other 12 have been top five or less or better. And I mean, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I have been able to fight in the elite of the division. I fought for the UFC belt maybe four times now. I won the BMF belt, lost the BMF belt, fought Tony, fought Khabib, fought Charles Oliveira. You know, I'm about to fight again, fought Patty. Nobody gets this many chances. And they've tried to get rid of me. You know, not try. They love me. There's no way that Dana White does not love me. You know,
he's professed his love for you on several occasions.
I've listened to him talk since I was a child, and I am everything that he wants and needs in a fighter. And so, you know, I am very proud of my accomplishments, but I have not attained my goal of being the best. But now I have a chance to do that in mm-hmm. June. When it comes to box office appeal, I'm the most exciting person. Also, a huge fan of this sport. The only reason I do it is because I grew up watching it and loving it. And no one's ever been as consistent as me.
I think you're one of, if not the most exciting fighter. What I would tell you is I'm sitting here speaking to you right now, and this is the first time we've ever sat down and really had an extensive discussion. And I'm blown away. Not to say that I didn't think you were articulate, but you're very talkative. You know what you're talking about. You're very clear. When you talk in promoting fights and stuff like that, you've never seemed like somebody, and I'm bringing up the Conor McGregor's of the world,
that's why
you don't talk shit.
Well, that's why I can't be the biggest appeal, because ultimately that's what resonates with people, and I just can't do it. Like, I can't lie. I'm a terrible liar.
Right.
Because I can't, you know, I have a forgetful memory. So I'm going to forget my lie. I'm going to mess it up. And so the best way for me is just tell the truth and just stick with that. So that way I'm never wrong.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the arrogant fighters who are tireless self-promoters who think about agitating folks to a point where you're coaxing people to walk through the turnstiles, either to see you win or to see you get your ass kicked. I'm talking about that kind of fight. You haven't been, I'm talking about strictly talking. You haven't been that guy.
No, because I'm not capable. I don't possess that skill.
Right.
You know, that's a skill that a fighter should have, you know, and especially if you're not the best in the world, it's how you get to the top without following the path of fighting the best. Luckily, without my ability to be exciting with my words, I've been in the top five since 2017 because I am the most exciting guy that's ever stepped into, the most consistent. Mm-hmm. And I wish I finished Patty. I wish I finished Chandler. I could have and should have finished those fights, but this sport's so crazy. But I got 9 bonuses in my first 7 fights. I've got 15 bonuses in my 15 fights. Those are the numbers. You know, when it comes to you talk stats all day, and those are stats that will never be touched.
You know, you just brought some interesting stats. I asked you, you know, did you got your parents here and the tennis family, all that stuff? Are you underpaid? I mean, just what you just said.
Of course.
I mean, just what you said.
Everyone feels like they're underpaid.
I used to think I was underpaid.
Yes, because I don't feel like you.
You know, but I wonder, you bring up the 15 bonuses and all that stuff. I'm wondering, considering the excitement have you ever reached a point in your career where you felt like you were underpaid?
Of course. Every time.
Every time.
Every time. But that's also, you know, the pettiness of how I got to where I'm at. Mm. You know, I always think I deserve more. Mm-hmm. We're independent contractors. Our sport is so different than any other sport in the world, in that, especially when it comes to like a union, how can we unionize when I want to kill some of these guys, and we all speak different languages. We're all from all over the world.
Yeah, that's true.
There's so many different variables when it comes to like having a union and coming together that other sports wouldn't have to face.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, we're independent contractors, and we don't know what they make.
Gotcha.
Which is fine. I think they run a good business. If I was them, I'd probably run it like that. Mm-hmm. They're gonna keep as much as they can for as long as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I think every, you know, sport, we're only 30 years old.
Right.
So I think I'm paving the way for the future guys to make more money. I think my coach Luke, mm-hmm. who fought in the UFC in 2002, got paid $2,000.
Yeah.
I think he paved the way for us. And I think eventually we're gonna be there.
Well, you come right in. Come right in.
What do you say? You know, box office. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm one of their biggest stars, most consistent guy. But you know, I don't think I get paid. Who knows? You're gonna get me in trouble out here.
I'm always gonna
say that we deserve more.
Right. You.
Because without fighters, there's no fights. There's no show. There's no.
Well, let me not get you in trouble. I'll look into the camera. I agree with you. I'll say you deserve what you want because you box office and you attract the crowd and you're very exciting and you win significantly more than you lose. So credit to you. Let me go to your fighting from this perspective. Is there anybody in particular that you've hated? Like you've had a match, you've gone into the octagon, you want to destroy them. I mean, you despise the ground that they walk on and it wasn't enough to beat them. You wanted to kick their ass. I mean, was there anybody?
That has happened. Michael Johnson, just because what he was saying, he was talking so much shit.
Mm-hmm.
Calling me inbred, asked me if my dad fucked his sister, my mom.
That was behind
the scenes, away from the cameras. So
wow.
That one I was like, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the emotions will kill you. That's also I don't have emotions. Like, I don't have happiness or sadness. I don't get road rage because no one gets to, you know, affect where I'm at emotionally. It's always right here in the middle. And that's one thing, you know, that my sport has taught me, that emotions are what life is, and they're, you know, it makes you feel things, but it ultimately will kill you in times of pressure. Because no emotion can help you
mm-hmm.
when it comes to being reactive and intuitive. And so I've, you know, with what I do, it kind of allowed me to mm-hmm. not have emotions ever.
Right. See your family here. Wonderful looking family, by the way. Gotta ask you.
Yeah.
How do your parents feel about you being a UFC fighter?
They love it. They love it. So I was, it's my mother's fault.
Okay.
You know, she gave me a twin brother, so a lifetime wrestling partner.
Right.
And they put us in wrestling at 4 years old when they could have put a golf club in my hand. And they threw us in the dirt instead. And so this is what I've become.
Right. So then,
But they honestly love it. So we come from a really small town, middle of nowhere, 3 hours from the city. We have Walmart. You got to go 3 hours for anything else. And I have
like in Arizona?
a 30-foot mural of me. And they're proud. They're very proud. And so I'm happy, you know.
But I know they're proud. What I'm talking about, it's a violent sport. And so they see their baby get hit.
I mean, is
your mama sitting there smiling?
We all.
I don't think
we
so.
All, yeah, I think she.
She thinks
crazy.
She's smiling?
She's, the only reason I have the fighting spirit I have is because of my mother. She is as if she, if you go to play ping pong with her, she'll hate you. If you play card with her, she'll hate you. Like, she is as competitive as they come. My whole family is. If we go bowling, we have to take separate cars
because right.
someone will be left. And it runs in my family. All of my family.
What about Pops?
He's very competitive. Luckily, he's more dense. And I got his bones. Like, that's all I need from him. And he, you know, he got me in wrestling at 4 years old. He started me on this journey at 4 years old. So, you know, I owe it to them that I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
They sacrificed everything. Went a lot of debt trying to pay him back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they love it. I think they love it.
When you do research, reading up about you, you don't just hear about what you were doing from the time you were so young. You also talk about, they also talk about you now and how you've pretty much isolated yourself. This is what they say. I don't know if they know anything or whatever. Just stuff that I've read up. You've isolated yourself. You know, you stay at home. You stay, you know, away from folks. You don't really engage in too many things because you're that focused on training. I want you to describe your life on an everyday basis. You're getting up from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep. Not every detail, but essentially, what is life like being Justin Gaethje at this particular moment in time?
Yeah, it is boring, boring, lonely. But I mean, I guess it's by choice. But I mean, if I could find someone that was pleasant to be around daily, then I would have a girlfriend or a wife. But, you know, I've just never found somebody.
Well, how are you supposed to find somebody and you ain't around nobody?
I also don't leave my house, so there's no way for me to meet people.
I mean, how are you going to meet somebody? Mama going to bring them home for you? I mean, how are you going to get out? How that going to happen?
I don't know. I'm not worried about that part. I don't know.
Right.
That's where I have to, trust in my faith. Trust in the faith.
But let me ask you.
I mean, I try to golf as many days as I can a week.
Okay.
I work out, try to work out every single day. Try not to eat shitty food every day.
Right. That stuff is important, but guess what? You could go meet somebody rather than go play golf.
No, see, I'd rather golf.
You could do that.
I would rather golf.
Okay.
I would rather
golf. You would rather golf. Now, why is that? No.
The only reason I want a dog, but if I get a dog,
the hell with a dog?
I will never get married.
Never?
That love, all I need is a little bit of love out there. And, being a dog.
You heard what they said, ain't nothing like the love you get from a woman. That's what they say.
I felt it, and you ain't wrong. But sometimes it's very,
You said you felt it and it was wrong?
No, it was right.
All right. It was right. But then why didn't you stick with what was right?
Because sometimes it's just instability. I need stability in my life.
Justin,
I go to these fights, I got 3 months of where I have to be a little bit selfish. Mm-hmm. And so,
Justin,
it's just difficult.
Justin
Gaethje. It's going to be difficult to bring somebody into this. It's almost over.
Justin, is it true that it's possible that you have refrained from such proclivities because you're fearful that it's going to force you to lose your edge? In the octagon. Is that reasonable? Could that be a reason why? Because the dog ain't going to take it away from you.
No.
Dog ain't going to take it away from you. And you already said mama ain't going to take it away because she's the one that put you in it. Okay? And
so, so they all know who, to bring someone from outside in and to expect them to be okay with my selfishness for 8 weeks.
Right.
Two times a year would be difficult.
16 weeks. That's 16 weeks. 4 months.
Yeah,
That is a line.
There's a lot of issues. Yeah, you ain't wrong. You ain't wrong.
That's right.
You're wrong. You ain't wrong.
Right. I mean, listen, you said you got your twin brother, right?
Yeah, he got four daughters.
See, he living.
I know.
He living. Does he safeguard stuff for you? Like he guards who comes near you. I imagine moms and pops got him guarding you, right? So that might be him.
I've been alone in Colorado for 18 years now. They all live in Arizona still.
Wow. And you still prefer a dog?
No, I don't prefer a dog. I never said I prefer a dog. I'm saying a dog might be enough for now,
All right. Okay. Let me go back to the fight because you threw me off there a little bit with something. Oh, you wild, bro. You threw me off there with something. Best fight of your career, you say, is what?
Best fight, best performance?
Yes,
outside best performance, I think the best coming out party I could have was against Michael Johnson in my first UFC fight, 2017.
Yep.
I get rocked twice, should have been knocked out, come back, finish him, get 2 bonuses. And that was the first time I ever got to show the world, myself.
Mm-hmm.
Failed 2 backflip attempts, nailed the 3rd one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was my best one, first time coming out, first time showing everybody, first time being in the elite organization,
right.
Everyone questioning if you're good enough to fight with the elite fighters in the world, coming from a different organization, which you also question. So that was, good to prove to myself that I belong with the elite, in the world.
Mm.
And so that was I'm most proud of my performance.
What was your worst?
My worst was probably Max Holloway. Max, for sure.
The whole fight?
The
fact that you got caught?
The preparation. It's everything you say. You can't ever make everybody happy. Being petty, I read comments and it pisses me off. But, so everything I say sounds like an excuse. But it was just a different circumstance. It was so many circumstances. It was UFC 300. He was from a different weight class. It was for, a BMF belt. And it was the first time I've ever went into a fight with the mindset that this is fun. This is what I do. This is cool. Rather than I'm in danger. This guy wants to hurt me and I want to hurt him back. So it was just the only time I've ever allowed myself to not have a warrior mindset stepping into a fight. And it was a great fight, But yeah, I just fought terribly. But I think everything obviously comes from preparation. I knew beforehand I was different that day than any other day. My coaches saw it because I knew that I didn't do what I needed to do to perform the way I needed to perform. And so, you know, once you're there, though, there's nothing you can do.
You talk about the mindset. You just brought that up. Is that the right mindset to have? Of like, you just talked about what works for you, knowing that you're in danger, feeling, recognizing this person is coming here to hurt me. Is that something that gets you more ready, yes, more so than fearful?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, once you can accept that danger and really convince yourself that it's real, then like going to sleep or getting knocked out, your body does amazing things for you to protect yourself from the trauma. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in life and death situations, like a spike of your adrenaline really dumps. There's a lot of things that are going on in here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're able to be more reactive. And ultimately, the more convinced I am that the danger is real, then my body, like right when the first bell rings, I've never heard a sound, seen a light. You know, it's just a very peaceful, like, moment in a weird way. And it's because there's so much adrenaline going. I've pissed blood, not because I've been hitting the kidneys, because I dump so much adrenaline and it goes into my bloodstream. And there's just so many things going on in there. And so the more real the danger is, the more primal my body becomes faster.
How much longer is it going to be worth it for you? I just got a few questions left because I know you got to go. How much longer is it going to be worth for you to keep doing this? Talk to us about how old you are. And how much longer you're contemplating doing this?
Yeah, I'm 37. It's been one fight at a time since day one. And I've always had the chance to be the best in the world. As soon as that is not attainable anymore, then I will not need to fight. And we've been close, but every single time I've come back, I lost to Oliveira, came back strong. Lost to Khabib, come back strong. Last to Holloway, come back, you know, two in a row right now. So I've always come back and put myself in a position to fight for the belt again. Not many people have ever fought for the amount of belts that I fought. And people, you know, are mad for that. But the only reason that's the case is because I'm still here and I'm still performing at the highest level. Once I think that my younger self would whoop my ass now, that's when I would be done. But if I was to get knocked out again, I would be done. I would not allow myself to go through that again.
So you're saying if you walked into the octagon, let's say, for example, you walked into the octagon 2 months, 3 months from now, mm-hmm, and you got knocked out, you would retire because you're saying you wouldn't let that happen to you again.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you
I've already made that decision internally. You know, that's right. My choice.
But why? Why? Because it hurts and it's too much to overcome, or because it's embarrassing, the reason?
No, I don't care what people think.
Right.
Because of, you know, how detrimental TBIs are.
Gotcha.
Don't want to put my parents through that more than two times. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be the second time. First time, my mom's face was very, very concerned. Mm-hmm. And everybody's face was very concerned. But
I was concerned.
Ultimately, with the loss, I would also then lose the opportunity to ever attain the championship belt, mm-hmm, you know, so.
Why is the belt so important to you? There's so many people in today's day and age, they're not about the belt. They're about, at least, I shouldn't say that because in the UFC, they definitely are about the belt, but some people are not. They're just of the mindset that if the people recognize me, as the people see me as elite, that's all I care about, as opposed to having that belt wrapped around my waist. That doesn't appear to be the case with you. It's about the belt. Why?
Yeah, because I think credit to my parents, my coaches, I am the same exact person emotionally, physically, as I was when I started this at 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've never allowed material things to become prized possessions. The only thing that's prized, and the only reason I ever wrestled where there's no money available, you know, trophies, I got trophies, was to be the best, be recognized as the best. Why that's important to me, I'm not sure, but it is very important to me. And that's why I got here. That's why I started doing this. Mm-hmm. And If material things were to become why I fought, then I would be in a lot more danger.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Because, you know, fighting to be the best in the world is the only thing that will drive me to work as hard as I need to be.
So you still, as we sit here today in February of 2026, you still feel you have the potential to be recognized as the very best in the world.
One more fight. If I win this next fight, that is the case. I'm already the most exciting, most consistent, but I will be undisputed. I fought for it 2 times. Didn't win it. BMF belt twice. Got 2 real belts at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one can ever say I wasn't a champion, but right now I cannot be content with that. And I absolutely believe it, 100%, especially with how crazy this game is, how big of a fan I am, how many unpredictable things have happened. Mm-hmm. I can absolutely knock Ilia Topuria out on the White House lawn.
How do you know that?
Because I know how crazy this game is. I know the power I possess. I know the skills that I have.
He possesses a lot of power.
Of course, he could knock me out also. Right. But there's no way to find out. And I also will. I just want the chance.
You want him?
Of course.
That's right.
Yeah, he's the champion. He's the champion. He finished Volkanovski, finished Holloway. If I could do it, it will be the best script. Then I will believe this is all simulation. 100%. Because it would be crazy. And that's what I'm here for, fucking crazy.
What if you win and you do it by knocking him out? Is that something that would make you retire as well? You said you would retire with a knockout loss. Knockout win?
I already let you get me in trouble once with money.
How is that trouble? How's that trouble? All they do is call you back and offer you more money to stay. I mean,
if I knock out Ilia Topuria, I'm sure I would keep fighting.
Mm-hmm. And if you lost by knockout to him, you would retire.
If I lost by knockout to a bicycle in between, then I would be done. Mm. Like, I would not allow myself to get these traumatic brain injuries.
No, what about a trilogy against Dustin Poirier? Nah, if he decides to come out of retirement, are you interested in that?
No. Mm-hmm. Or 1-1.
Yep.
I'm fighting for the championship next. I mean, that is the biggest fight in the world for me, for this division. It's the biggest fight that any of us could ever have. It's fighting for an undisputed gold championship belt. So there's nothing else that entertains me. Mm-hmm. If they came to me and said, do you want to fight McGregor on the White House card instead? I would think about it.
How would you not jump at that? A guy that talks more smack than a little bit, that's clearly box office personified, and oh, by the way, that you could possibly likely take out.
Because I wouldn't fight for the undisputed belt. But these are things that I couldn't expect you to understand. But that takes the opportunity to be the best in the world away from me. Mm. That's why I fought so hard to get here. I have made that decision to not fight him, instead wait for a belt. And I think I would reconsider this time because of where we're at. Mm. So I'm not against it at all.
In terms of where you said, because
where
of where
I'm at in my career.
Gotcha.
You know, it's different. Times are different.
If you were to retire, how do you believe you should be known and remembered?
I think, again, with my lack of personality. And
you actually have a very good personality. You just don't show it enough. I'm like, where has this guy been?
My biggest secret is everyone thinks I'm dumb. It's perfect. Oh. It's the best way to approach any conversation. Mm. When everyone thinks you're dumb or fights, you think I'm fighting like a dumbass. Like, I get it. It looks like that a little bit, but there's so much going on. What the heck?
You're pretty damn smart.
What I'm saying is, with that personality, it brings more attention and more relevancy to, like, because there's like clips in between. I think my career is going to age like wine. Like, I think with time, people are going to understand how special what I've done is and was.
How do you feel about the UFC fight game without you? I'm not talking about once you retire. I'm talking about take you aside and what you bring to the table when you walk into an arena and when you walk into an octagon.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the sport overall, the overall health of the sport? Just did a new deal with Paramount Plus. You know, obviously you were a part of that opening card in UFC 324, and they had UFC 325. They're going to have many, many more UFC events and what have you. It's a $7 billion deal, that I know. Okay, looking at what they've been able to do, the health of the game financially seems to be on very, very solid ground. But I'm asking you as a fighter, looking at the fight game, seeing the participants that walk inside that octagon, what do you feel about the state of the sport at this moment?
I mean, I love it. The fact that there's the poorest parts of every country across the world are the kids. I tell my teammates all the time, you guys better work, because the poorest kids from every country have the opportunity to be where you're going right now. And that's into the UFC. So I love that. I love that there's, it's now so mainstream that there's kids training and to be an all-around MMA athlete. For all of us, it was, you had one lane, you know, and then let's see which one's the best one. But I think without me, I think the expectations would be less. I think that's how exciting. Like, I've been to probably 100 fights, and only maybe 15% of the time does it give everybody a shot of, like, adrenaline, turn everybody into animals in, like, one moment. Mm. And I've been the most consistent, and I've done it every single time I've fought. And so 100%. And most guys, I would say 10, 15% of the time do people get what they paid for. And so I'm the most consistent. I think the expectations are higher because I am so consistent with my performances. I think my cards in general, I think the people fight more and fight harder because of the aura that my fights bring. Mm-hmm. And I could tell that the mood and the energy in an octagon is different when I walk in there, and for my fights specifically. Because I've been to 100 fights, and I know there's sometimes a person walks out and you just know. You know, you expect something and you know it's going to deliver. And I know that I give that every time that my fights are on there. When my fights come, everybody gets tingly, you know, gets goosebumps, and they know that they're going to see something extraordinary.
Quick answers to this question. Who's the fighter? Who's the fighter? No, I'm saying what I'm about to ask you. I want quick answers. Who's the fighter? Who's the UFC fighter you've respected the most?
Respected the most?
Respect.
Probably GSP, just because he was such a good dude, you know, all the way around. Such a good competitor. Was always scared, but always performed so well.
Was there a particular fighter you ever went against that you walked into the ring feeling like you were going to lose? Before the fight even started.
I would say no, but if so, then Khabib.
Because?
There was a lot of, I mean, usually when I wake up on fight day, my heart rate, resting heart rate is like 38. This day it was like 68. We were in Abu Dhabi. It was just a lot of variables. It was during COVID. We were in a bubble. Couldn't see the sun for like 12 days. Mm-hmm. So I just knew for some reason that I wasn't going to perform the best that I could.
Regardless of weight division, if you had your dream match to end your career on a winning note against a particular fighter, which fighter would that be?
Ilia Topuria. Knock him out in June, White House card.
That's who you want. Yeah. I know that's who you want. But that's I'm talking about more than anybody ever. Like, that's why I'm like, to end your career, I understand what it is. But I was just talking about a dream scenario, a dream matchup. It could be him.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it would be him. I mean, it would be him. If it's someone that's not a fighter, I mean, I guess I'd take a chance to fight Dana White, you know, at the end.
Last question. I mean, when I think about your career, obviously you're going to be celebrated. And I agree. I think you're right. I think you're going to be appreciated even more so when you walk away from the game, even than you are now. But looking at it from that standpoint, I'm wondering, what's life going to be like for Justin Gaethje once he retires?
That is a tough question.
Have you thought about it?
Of course I've thought about it. You know, I through time, every time in between fights, I'm trying to create passive income so that I don't have to go get a job. Mm-hmm. So I can continue to wake up whenever I want. That was my goal as a child, and I was, you know, I'm still there.
You know, Floyd Money Mayweather told me that one time. He said to me, you want me to tell you what true success is, what true wealth is? I said, what? He said, waking up when you want to and going to sleep when you want to.
Yeah, that's been my goal.
He said, that's it. He said, vacations and all of this other stuff, he said, that's nice, but true freedom, true joy is getting up when you want to and going to sleep when you want to.
He's a smart man. I do agree with that. And that has been my goal since I was a kid. So yeah, create passive income. I'm starting a golf company. Mm-hmm. So I have to go to all these conventions and I just have to. Even when I get married, I'm like, I own a golf company. Got to go to these golf courses. Mm-hmm. I have a equipment brand, Onyx Sports, where we make different MMA equipment, gloves, headgear, shin guards, different stuff. So really just being an entrepreneur until I don't have to be. And golf has made it as possible.
Odd question before I let you get out of here. Can you cook?
Absolutely.
You can cook?
Yep.
You like cooking for yourself?
Yeah. I do like it, but I don't do it. I have a chef.
I have a chef. You have a chef, but you can cook for yourself and you like it. So that's just another excuse to not settle down, Justin. I mean, that's just another excuse not to settle down.
It's a good excuse, though. It's a pretty good excuse.
You sure?
For now.
You sure?
For now. I'm not against it, I promise you.
I'm looking at mama, and I mean, how could you, you know, you got a wonderful
mother. She's so
mother.
Desperate, she's like, find a surrogate.
See?
Find a surrogate.
So she's
point.
On you about it. So
of
she's
course.
A, so
we
it's
got
not
no boys.
Just me.
We got no boys.
It's not just me. It's Mama Gaethje that's getting on you about
Listen,
it, too.
I'm not against it, but I'm not going to, it's not going to be the wrong one. I refuse. I'll find the right one, then I'll be in.
Have you ever been in the UFC fighting and you had a girlfriend at the same time?
Yes.
Were those your worst performances or your better performances? I mean, I'm talking about you in the octagon, having that person in your life. Did you go into the octagon with better or worse?
I would say worse.
That's what it is.
I would say worse.
Worse. Why? Mental or physical?
Oh, no, not physical. Mental for sure. These girls are crazy, bro. They're crazy.
They distract you.
There's all distractions, a lot of emotions. Never quiet. Never any.
Is it true? Is it true that they stress you right around the time you got to fight? If they're upset, it's like it's a distraction.
It could be a distraction.
I'm saying, did you get the impression that she tried to distract you
like,
on purpose?
Do I think they're working for my opponent sometimes?
Mama, did you hear that, Mama? Did you hear that, Mama? She agrees. Appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Congratulations on all your
you.
Success,
great
man.
You.
All the best to you. Justin Gaethje, you heard what he had to say. He got me thinking. I mean, I got to take a commercial break. I was going to end the show, but I need a commercial break. I got to think about some of the stuff that he said. I mean, the kind of stuff that could have an effect on you, you know what I'm saying, and get in the way of what you're trying to achieve. Mama Gaethje's in the house filming everything. You know. Ladies and gentlemen, he said he was worse when he had the person in his life with the title fights. Ladies,
not the problem now.
He said it's not the problem now because he got a dog.
No, I don't have a dog.
He wants a dog.
No, I'm not getting one because I know it's over. I'm not going to find a
girl.
But he wants a dog. I want a girl.
He wants
That's why I'm not getting a dog because I'll just be like, fuck it, I'm good.
We're going to go to commercial break right now. Back with more in a minute.